how the number three social media company in America polices and does not police speech on the internet, but first, markets have begun to react to the Mexican election. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Mexico has a new president on the way. Andrés Manuel López Obrador, a leftist, has won Mexico's election in a landslide with 53% of the vote. Also, exit polls so far show his party winning a majority in the Mexican Congress. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra is here live with more on the new Mexican president's economic agenda.
This election signals a big change for Mexico in terms of economic policy, in part because López Obrador is from a party that he started only a few years ago. He is a left-wing populist. He said in his victory speech that his administration would give preference to the poorest and the forgotten. And he's promised to root out corruption in the Mexican government. In fact, he said he'd overhaul government contracts, cut the salaries of officials, and use that money for public projects and social welfare. But he's also said his party will show fiscal discipline. The peso rose about 1% after exit polls showed López Obrador might win, but then it fell again after the official count. And the thinking is investors are skittish that potential spending on social policies could push the country into debt.
Marketplace's Mariel Segarra, thank you. In fact, I'm looking at the peso now. The dollar is up and the peso is down. It costs about just over 20 pesos to buy a U.S. dollar. The venerable business alliance known as the U.S. Chamber of Commerce today is set to attack President Trump's tariffs. Reuters has seen the plan to be unveiled today that will list state by state where the chamber believes the U.S. tariffs and the retaliation they've prompted will hit consumers in the paycheck. The chamber's in favor of seeking what it calls free and fair trade, but not the Trump way. Let's do the numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 0.9%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down pretty sharply, 0.7% for the Dow future, about 0.8% for the NASDAQ future. Indication of interest rates, down. The 10-year yield is down at 2.83%. The number three social media company in America, just behind Google and YouTube, is now... Nope, not that one. Number three is Reddit, a place where people with interests from the profound to the ridiculous can interact anonymously. Reddit takes just about everyone, support groups for people coping with adversity, a fan club for the letter G, and people who espouse naked racism. I spoke with Reddit co-founder and CEO Steve Huffman about a distinction he tries to draw between beliefs, which on Reddit are okay, and noxious behavior, which Reddit tries to limit with human moderators or by pulling the plug. I asked Huffman about being the CEO of a free speech-oriented company during riots last summer in Charlottesville, Virginia, where Huffman went to college.
Charlottesville was a pretty emotional experience for me personally. That is where I grew up. That's my home. And I didn't like seeing that happen in the real world.
Your initial reaction was what?
I was upset. There's a lot of emotions there. I was quite angry. There was a community on Reddit at the time that was almost an apologist for what happened there. And that was deeply upsetting. And my knee-jerk reaction, right, is just get them off the site. I know the answer here. You know, we can figure it out later. Fortunately, I'm not the sole decision maker in these conversations, and I think we had a productive and rational decision about it. And that
there was a cooling off period for you, Steve.
Well, for me personally, fortunately, the team was already on it, and we had actually before the Charlottesville tragedy had been refining our language around violence and glorifying violence. And in the wake of Charlottesville, that was a really good motivation to get that wrapped up pretty quick. And I'm glad we did that.
Maybe robots can fix this. I know you actually have humans on the case trying to figure out what goes too far on Reddit, but maybe artificial intelligence can come in here and do some of your work for you.
You know, maybe, but I'm skeptical. I think
even a technology guy like you says maybe.
I think like AI and machine learning can, like, we're going to do incredible things, and I think the future is very, very bright. AI is a computer science tool for right now building better models, and they are becoming increasingly complex. So we can do some incredible things. But a motto we've always had at Reddit is let humans do the hard part. And so when we're talking about things like classification and setting standards for discourse and policy enforcement, I'm actually a huge proponent of how do we share that burden with our community? Because the only thing that scales with users is users. And I think we've got a long way to go, right? When my spell check, when autocorrect gets a little better on my phone, then we can start talking about, you know, AI as the solution to all of our problems. And look, I hope we get there, but...
And spell check isn't that good, is your point, yes.
But until then, you know, I think we have to, you know, own some of this as well.
Steve Huffman. On Reddit, he goes by Spez, S-P-E-Z, as CEO of Reddit, the number three social media site in the United States after Google and YouTube. Steve, thank you.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
We spoke at the Aspen Ideas Festival in Colorado. Wimbledon tennis, and organizers are using artificial intelligence to try to reach a younger audience faster than ever on social media, using IBM's Watson supercomputer to pick game highlights almost instantly. But what might that mean for regular broadcasters that buy all these rights to the coverage? Marketplace's Renato Sago has more.
If you've watched a tennis match, this kind of crowd response probably sounds familiar. It's a clip from last year's Wimbledon ladies singles final between Venus Williams and Garbiñe Muguruza. The Watson computer picked it as a highlight, and this year the computer's enhanced even more to track crowd noise and players' body movements to prepare a highlights reel within 5 minutes. It's a task that takes human video editors longer, and Sam Seton with IBM says speed's important.
If you leave with content in the media market, that's what people will follow initially.
Seton adds that with quick posts to Facebook and Instagram, Wimbledon hopes to lure a younger audience. But Marty Conway, who teaches sports management at Georgetown, says Wimbledon can't go so far that it competes with broadcast partners like ESPN.
They want to have all eyeballs directed at Wimbledon content on their platform.
ESPN inked a reported $500 million deal in 2011 to broadcast Wimbledon for 12 years. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.